Amen. You know, Bob, I really appreciate what we shared downstairs and what you were sharing just now, because I told Pastor Bob, it goes right along with my message, right along with my message. I want to speak to you. I'm going to give you the title right from the beginning. Little becomes much when God is in it. Little becomes much when God is in it. And the Lord has established a principle in the Word of God that God is all for enlargement and abundance. Enlargement and abundance. In Genesis chapter 1, the first thing that came out of the mouth of our Lord himself was, be fruitful and multiply. And then Jesus said in John 10:10, that he has come to give us life and that we may have it more abundantly. So the principle in God's word is enlargement and abundance. And Bob has been, you know, sharing that with you concerning the addition, enlargement and abundance, because it's a community to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the problems that we have as Christians is that we live in a world of littleness. Littleness. Let me share with you some of the confessions that comes out of our mouths. I have little education, therefore I do not expect to get ahead in life. You know, it's interesting, I won't mention the names because you're going to think I'm carnal. But there's five entertainers, they're all gone, they're all dead. Five entertainers that I really appreciated when I was in the world and still enjoy their music. They're all dead, not one of them graduated high school. And they were the biggest entertainers. I'll throw one out, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Joe Bishop, and Peter Lawford. Five individuals that to this day are considered to be some of the largest, most successful entertainers of our lifetime. Not one graduated high school. You see, they had a God-given gift, though they didn't use it for the glory of God. But they were gifted men. They were gifted men. So people say, you know, I have a little education. They live in a world of littleness. Therefore, I'm not going to succeed in life. Then here's another confession that comes out of their mouths. I'm a little wage earner, little paycheck, and therefore I'll never have much in life because I don't get a big paycheck. And yet you heard about the young boy. You took one of my illustrations with the five loaves and the two fish. That wasn't too much. But God was in it, and little became much, and fed 5,000. And so we say, I don't make enough. I can't give to that building fund. I don't have enough. But you know, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall God give back into your bosom. Second thing, a third thing is this. This comes out of our mouth so often. Little by little, the situation is getting worse. Therefore, I do not expect anything to change. Little by little. And Jesus addressed his disciples, and he said to them, when they were getting concerned about what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, what are we going to drink, he said, O ye of, come on, let's see if you know the Bible, O ye of little faith. Little faith, all right? Now, you find in Scripture that when God is in something, great things comes forth from that. Moses, all he had was a rod. How big can a rod be? He had a rod. But the reason why he was able to stretch out that rod and the Red Sea parted was the fact that God was in it. David, one little stone, just a stone. With that, he brought down a giant. And it wasn't so much that it was David's, you know, ability. It was the fact that God was in it. And then he stole this from me. the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's an amazing thing when you read the scriptures that if God is in something, that's the key first, that God be in it, then you watch and see what God can do. Because little becomes much when God is in it. Now let's go to our text. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. And I'm going to bring to your attention 6 different principles that are to be applied to your life and my life. And in applying these things to our lives, you're going to find that little becomes much when God is in it. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start reading from verse 1. And we'll go down to verse 7. Are you there? Okay. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. There's nothing there. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it out into those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass that when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So this is very important. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." What a beautiful biblical account, just in itself. But I want to bring to your attention 6 principles that if they are applied according to the scripture to our lives, we're going to discover that little becomes much when God is in it. The first principle that you find in this portion of scripture is number 1, and you find that in verse 1, that you must direct your cry in the right direction, the right source. You must direct your cry. When you're in need, you must direct your cry in the right direction to the right source. In this portion of scripture, it says this: a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Elisha. She didn't cry out to Pastor Bob. She didn't cry out to Pastor Ben. She didn't cry out to Bob or James or Harry or Sue or Mary. She cried out to the prophet, Elijah. Why Elijah? Listen to me carefully. Because Elijah represented God and the power of God. He represented God and the power of God. She knew that this man can alleviate her of her pain, her sorrow, of the fact that she's going to lose her 2 sons. And what we need to do, I noticed the points that you had in the back, the first one you had was prayer. And when we face a need, the one we need to go to, because friends will disappoint you. Hello? Family members will disappoint you. Come on. But God will never disappoint you and let you down. And so the first thing we need to do in order to see little becoming much when God is in it is direct your cry, your prayer, in the right direction. God, help me. Hallelujah. We cry out to God. And the Bible says that when we cry out to God, he's not deaf that he cannot hear. He hears our prayer. That's principle number one. The second principle that I want to bring to your attention is this. In verse 2, present to God something that he can work with. He says to the lady here, this woman, so Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing but in the house but a jar of oil. Little insignificant jar of oil. God will always come to us and say, what do you have that I can use in order to perform a miracle? He's going to call upon you and me. What do you have that I can use to perform a miracle? You see, he's saying to us today, Pastor Bob, what do we have? He's pledging $5,000. I'm sure there'll be others say, oh, I can't do that. But there's something that we have that we could present to God that he can use. He talked about this building. I was pastoring for 10 years in the Bronx. Oh, I'm getting thirsty here. I went down there and I started in a house. 4 or 5 people. From there, the man of the house said, there's a banquet hall. A fellow used to do weddings and so forth. Underneath, he had a bar. And he wasn't a Christian at the time. He is today. And he was a friend of this individual in the house where we were meeting. And he said we can use the banquet hall for free. And so we moved over there, the five or six of us. Five or six became 35 or 40. And we actually then felt like it's time to move out of there. Two of the ladies from the group, they called me up. One called me up and said, I saw an ad in a paper, a place that is available for rent. It could be used for school or whatever. And I always go by the Bible and I hold on to things because the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I just don't run right away. And so I kind of, you know, held on to that. Somebody else says to me, walking down the street and I saw a sign. There's a place that's for rent. But you couldn't see it because it was in the back of a facility. So you couldn't see it from the street. I said, there's the second witness. I went down there. I couldn't find it because it was in the back. Called the landlord, met me, opened up this gate, took me to the back, and it was a warehouse. If you think this is something, when I showed that facility to life, you know what was living in there? Maybe it was a sign, a pigeon. The door was open, and this pigeon can get in and out, and he had his droppings all over the place. And he had his nest up above. The moment I walked in, he come flying out. Maybe it was the dove, you know, that God sent. So everybody, I look at the place, and it was a dump. It was bad. Took my wife there with another lady from the church, and Lila, she couldn't see it. She couldn't see it. But I'm different. I can see the potentials. And I saw the building, I said, and it was, I think, what was it, $2,000 a month. And I said, no. And we didn't have nothing. Here we go again, Bob. We had nothing. I put up $1,000, and we needed $4,000 to get in. And four of us, I put $1,000. Three other people put up $1,000, and we got in. Okay? We got in there. We painted. We fixed it up. Started our services. From one service, it went to two services. And I was having two services. The place was full. Then I started putting our dollars away, putting our money away, putting our money away, putting our money away. And we outgrew the building. We didn't have no real Sunday school rooms to speak of. And I started praying because that's the first thing. Direct your cry to the right source. I started praying, God, provide for us. We have outgrown this building. There again, two ladies. One calls, saw a for rent sign in a large building. I mean large. Held on to it. Another one that worked down the street called me, saw a building, Pastor Ben. I said, let me go check it out. It was 10,000 square feet. Big building. We can put three of these in there. Big building, but it was a warehouse. Nothing but cinder block. I mean, it was nothing but a warehouse. No heat to speak of, no air conditioning. I have units on that roof that I paid over $20,000 just for the units, over $20,000. All total was about $50,000, $60,000 for the air conditioning to be put in. I had about $200,000 in the bank. And I went there. $10,000 a month was my rent, plus utilities. And I took a step of faith. And I knew that God was going to bless us. You ought to see the building today. Everybody that was walking in said, oh, this is so. Jonathan did all the painting. He came, he painted the ceiling. He painted the walls. He was there for a whole week with two of his men, painted the facility. And God, now I turned it over to another pastor who was in a small storefront. He has about 150 people, and today they're having their first service. You see, God says to you and me, what do you have on hand? Ah, but we only have 10,000 in the bank. We only have so many people. God says, all I want for you to do is give me the little that you have, put it in my hand. See, the problem that we have is we look at what we have on hand and we lose sight of what he has on hand. And he has everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. You got to get ready for a miracle. And this lady, I'm sure she did not realize what she was going to experience. By taking that little jar of oil, the insignificant, and put it in the hands of the prophet of God. What do you have in the house? What do we have? Let me give you principle number three that Bob made reference to it. When you place your faith, your little jar of oil, in the hands of the Lord, it's going to require an act of obedience is to follow your faith. Look at the act of obedience. Go throughout the community, get all the vessels you can, empty vessels, not a few. Now you can imagine what this lady was thinking. I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to go around town borrowing vessels from people. And I don't know what this man is going to do with them. You see, it's going to require an act of obedience. In anything, anything. Moses, what do you have in your hand? A rod, stretch it out. That was an act of obedience. Moses didn't know what God was going to do. Here's a sea before him, Pharaoh's army behind him. But God said, stretch it out. And so the lady had to go out, knock on doors, send her sons out with her, and say, do you have a vessel? Amen. I got his. Do you have a vessel? Do you have a vessel? Do you have a vessel? And she had to go out, an act of obedience, and borrow vessels, not a few. Could you imagine how Peter felt when they came to him collecting the temple tax? And Peter comes in, they're here to collect the temple tax. Jesus says, who is to pay the temple tax? The strangers or the children? The strangers, not to offend them. Look at this one. I want you to go down to the sea, cast your line in, and the first fish that you catch, you'll find a coin in his mouth, pay the temple tax with that. I can imagine Peter walking down the street, scratching his head, and saying, man, I've been a fisherman for years, and I fished and fished and never found a coin in a fish's mouth. Peter, where are you going? Oh, never mind. Peter, what's that in your head? Never mind. Come on. But Peter obeyed went to the Sea of Galilee, cast his line in, and there came the fish with a coin in his mouth. And there's a whole lot of fish out here with many coins in your mouth. Glory to God. God's going to provide. Come on. And when you get that new edition, I'll be your first speaker.
Amen.
An act of obedience. Let me move on quickly because I know you're getting hungry. Verse 4 and 5, it says this. And when he had come in, and when you have come in, you shall shut the doors behind you and your sons, then pour it out into those vessels and set aside the full ones. What I want to share with you here in this point number 4 is that the doubting Thomases must be shut out of the process. You go in the room, you and your sons leave the people out. Because whenever God is about to do a miracle, perform a miracle, you're always going to have your doubting Thomases that will try to talk you out of it. The building, the big one, 10,000 square feet. How are you going to do this? And 10,000 a month. She can tell you, we were there 5 years believing, month after month, for over 10,000. Every month I had to believe God for over 10,000 because we had utilities as well. But God was on time every time. He always provided, always provided, always provided. Come on. You see, but I had to keep the doubting Thomases out of the process. You remember when the nobleman had a daughter that was sick and she died? Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. When he got there to the house, there were the people that were wailing and, you know, and so forth. These were professional people they have back then, mourners. What did he do? They said, they ridiculed him. Now she's dead. They made fun of Jesus. You know what he did? He put them all out, and he took James, John, and Peter, and he brought them into the room, and he brought her back from the dead. But he kept the doubting Thomases out of the process. And we got to shut our ears to the doubting Thomases and believe that God, I got a word from you, and you're more than able to provide for this project. Gideon didn't need 10,000, didn't need 20,000, 300, got the job done. Got the job done. Amen? Got to keep the doubting Thomases out. Praise God. Number 5, I said 6 principles. Number 5, this is a good one. In verse 6, and I give this for this church. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. Now here's the point here, the principle. The oil ceased. And when we stop bringing empty vessels into the house of the Lord and fill them with the Holy Spirit, get them saved. When people are not getting saved, and many churches are like that, the oil will cease. And the oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want upon a church service, the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he will hang around as long as we're bringing empty vessels for the Holy Spirit to fill them, get them saved, get them baptized in the Holy Spirit, and get them on fire for God. Hallelujah. There was a friend of mine. I used to teach for him a whole lot. I did his men's retreats, spoke at his church many times. But one thing he had an issue with me, I give altar calls. And he said to me, why do you have to give an altar call? He said, I don't do that in my services. He said, I just feel you put the word out and let them then implement, put it to practice once they go out. Yeah. I said, you know why I give altar calls? Because God wants to fill them. Either they're getting saved, they're getting healed, They're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're being filled with the Spirit. I said, that's why I have all the calls. Hallelujah. And the moment the vessel ceases to be brought before the presence of the Lord, you got to reach out. There's a dying community out here. There's a dying world, period. I'll tell you one thing, Bob, that I'm excited about. And I told Lila, I'm going to be involved in Connecticut. I was in the Bronx for years. I want to be involved locally. I want to be able to be involved in outreaches or whatever to see people in the community coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what life is all about. That's what it is. There's nothing I can take with me when I leave this world except the souls that are getting saved, and many have gone on before me. You can't take what you possess. You've never, never seen, come on, a U-Haul behind a hearse. Never. Never. You can't take it with you. They said about Presley, how much did he leave? Somebody said he left everything. He left everything. But the souls, you know that song, they just sang it to us last week. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I'm a life that has been saved. Hallelujah. And that's a song that they're singing, not down here, but in heaven. And the last one is this. Verse 7. Look at it with me. Then she came and told the man of God, Ben Taurus. No, I'm only kidding. Then she told the man of God that, you know, they were all full, they didn't have any more. And he said, this is a very important principle, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. The last principle, very important. Make sure that you do first things first. Make sure that you do first things first. And the first thing was, pay your debt. She could have said, wow, look at this. Boys, we are wealthy. We don't have to live in this house. We don't have to live in this little village. We're out of here. We're going to the big city. We're out of here. And you know what the problem tends to be, in all honesty? We don't take care of first things first. In my church, I'm speaking my church, not Bob's church. How many people withhold their tithes? They don't give into the work of the Lord. She knows it. She took care of the books. They don't tithe. They don't give. They want the benefit of a church. They want to come, sit, get a teaching, enjoy fellowship, enjoy a meal, get their kids, you know, Sunday school being taught. But when it comes to the finances, they can't give God his 10%. Just imagine if God said, I want 90 and you only keep 10. He could say that. He's God. But he says, give me the 10 so we get my work done. And not only that, I'm giving you the privilege of keeping 90. And not only that, but I also know how to multiply the 90. I leave you with this. My background is one of drug addiction. I throw this out. I came to Teen Challenge. Many of you know Teen Challenge, David Wilkerson, when I was nothing but a strung-out heroin addict. That was it, bottom line. Been on heroin 11 years. Lost. Came out of a penitentiary after serving 5 years. And there in my desperation, I knew about the program Teen Challenge. I went to Teen Challenge, and I want to cry when I talk about this. I went there a broken man, broken, strung out on heroin. I wanted to leave that place time and again, battling with my addiction. Check out, leave. But I went to a service on a Saturday night, and Brother Dave Wilkerson was preaching, and he ministered the word of God. I've been in the program now 2 weeks. I was over the physical withdrawal. But mentally, I was addicted. And I wanted to leave so bad to go back to the needle. And while he was speaking, he spoke that Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Came not only to forgive us of our sins, but he came to give us peace of mind. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to give us joy, came to give us satisfaction, and most of all, this spoke to me, he came to give us purpose in life. Purpose. I said, what purpose do I have? I have a prison record, not arrested once. I was arrested numerous times for my addiction. Long prison record. Who's going to hire me? Where am I going to get a job? And while I was in that condition, mainly feeling sorry for myself, God spoke to me while I was still a sinner and said to me, go up there. This is your night. And I was struggling. I wanted to leave. And one of the counselors, I'll be eternally thankful for this man, he tapped me. And he said, Ben, do you want me to take you up there? And I turned to him. I said, yes. Because I didn't have the nerve. And he took me up there, and David Wilkerson, it was where they're at. No, it was a different place, but it was a theater like what they have now, and it had a high platform because it's a theater. And he was going down the line and laying hands on people, praying for them. Then he came to me, and the Wilkersons know me well. And he said, Ben, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to pray for? And I said this, Brother Dave, I've been a heroin addict 11 years. Prior to that, I was lost on the streets of New York City. Everything in me wants to leave this program, but I know it's not out there. And I said this, and if God cannot help me, nothing will. And he laid his hand on my head, and he cried out there. He directed his prayer in the right direction, right source. He said, Jesus, help him. Like that, boldly. Jesus, help him. And when he said that, the power of God came upon me. And my hands went up in the air. And I was crying like a baby. And I used to have a hardened heart. I was so hard in the world, so rebellious. And he took, the Bible says, the stony heart. And he gave me a heart of flesh. He melted that heart. I went down on my knees, and I cried. Cleaned myself up, went back to the program. And this is what I'm leading up to. When I went in the program, my mother gave me a suitcase, met me in the projects because I was a parole violator. I couldn't go home, couldn't live home because I was running from this man. Gave me a suitcase and $2. We didn't have much money. Gave me $2. She thought I can smoke there. My sister said, Mom told me to give you these $2 for cigarettes. I never got to buy cigarettes. Today I have more than $2 in my wallet. I have a precious son. I have a beautiful wife. I own my own home. You know, I have so much. I have so much. Because little becomes much when God is in it. And he's been in my life from the day I got saved. Hallelujah. 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 Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful that you're the God that, Lord, you multiply. And Lord, whether it be God, our own personal lives, whether it be a church like Bob is believing for, Lord, you're an awesome God. And all you require of us is, Lord, to present something to you. As the prophet said to that woman, what do you have in the house? And all she had was that little insignificant little jar of oil. But yet, Lord, you multiplied that like the loaves and the fish. And she had enough to pay off the creditor, didn't have to lose her sons. And Lord, enough for her and her sons to live on for the rest of their lives. What a miracle. And Lord, I know you want to perform miracles. I want to pray for this church. I want to pray for Pastor Bob and Sandy. They're so faithful. Lord, they've been laboring here, as he said, 8 years. And I know I came here before they were here, when the previous pastor was here, and I knew the condition of the grounds and the facility. And Lord God, he's labored and faithfully and been wanting to see a work of God established here. And now they're believing, Lord, for an expansion of this facility. And we're going to agree right now that the provision is going to be there, that you're going to provide. And Lord God, we're going to present something to you that you'll be able to work with and multiply it. And I also want to pray, if there's anybody here, you're not a Christian, or you're a backslider, you've gotten away from God, and you say, Pastor Ben, I want to come, I want you to pray for me, or any other need. We got a few minutes. Just come right up. Let me lay hands on you and pray for you and watch God begin to do something in your life. If you're not a believer, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you want to get right with God, don't turn this precious opportunity away. But say, I want God to come in my heart, in my life. I want him to turn my life around. Or you say, I need a touch in my body, Pastor. I need a healing. God is here to do it. Amen? Whatever need you may have, I'll be here, Pastor Bobby here, and we'll be here to pray for you. God bless you all. Pastor Bob.